بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Now, today this is our 62nd session, number 62, reading from Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today, inshallah, we're going to continue once again with the subject of the shurut of wujub al-hajj, yani the things that make the hajj, the things that, the necessary preconditions that make hajj obligatory upon someone. We finished reading from our textbook, and we also, you know, previously have read last week from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah's comments concerning this in Fiqh al-Ibadat. And today, inshallah, we're going to read from Al-Mulakhis al-Fiqhi by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, pages 273, 274, and 275. And I wrote in the homework assignment 273 to 274, but actually it finishes on 275. 273 to 275, Al-Mulakhis al-Fiqhi by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. And then there's a note, I don't see one of our brothers here now, but he asked a question last week about, and what's the proof that Umrah is also obligatory. So I also put in the homework note here, Fiqh al-Ibadat by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, page 305, yani where that question is addressed. And then I also collected some notes, you know, further notes concerning that particular matter, some further details. And the brother was supposed to do for a homework assignment, but I don't see him here now. He was supposed to research this issue that he asked last week about what's the evidence and what are the opinions and the proofs that Umrah is obligatory, like Hajj, or that it is not obligatory. Because we read last week where Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said Hajj and Umrah are obligatory. So in any case, that's what we're going to try to talk about today. First, we're going to continue with our original topic, the preconditions which make Hajj obligatory, reading from Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan's notes on this topic, from Al-Mulakhis al-Fiqhi, page 273 and 274 and 275. And then after that, we'll look at the issue that the brother asked about last week at the end of the class, and we will try to address that issue. And if he comes, inshallah, hopefully he'll bring us some notes that he, yani, researched during the week for his homework assignment. Okay, let's turn to Al-Mulakhis al-Fiqhi, page 273, where Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, near the bottom of the page, the last paragraph, وَإِنَّمَا يَجِبُ الْحَجِّ بِشُرُوتٍ خَمْسَةٍ يعني that indeed Hajj is only obligatory. It only becomes obligatory with five conditions. Page 273. الإسلام والعقل والبلوغ والحرية والاستطاعة. And these are the conditions that we mentioned previously and whatever we read in the previous sessions. Yani, the five conditions that make Hajj obligatory is number one, al-Islam, the person has to be a Muslim. Number two, they have to be sane, aql. And number three, reach the age of responsibility, al-Bulugh. And they have to be free, al-Hurriya. And number five, al-Istita'a. They have to be able. Yani, being able means what? Physical and what?
Financial.
And financial. Financial and physical. So specifically, that means they have to have the financial means to travel, and also they have to have good health. And what else?
Safe journey, safe road,
safe passage. And rahila. They must possess yani means of transportation. That's four. And for the woman, they have to have a mahram. And for the woman, they have to have a mahram. Okay, so we said that istita is yani, it's composed of, or it is achieved or realized by four things. Yani sihat al-badan, having good physical health. And amn al-tariq, having safe passage, the road has to be safe. And ar-rahila, zad and ar-rahila, yani having the finance to travel and the means of transportation. And the woman has the extra aspect, and that is the presence of a mahram. So the Shaykh says, these are the five conditions that make Hajj obligatory. فَمَنْ تَوَفَّرَتْ فِيهِ هَذِهِ الشُّرُوطِ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ الْمُبَادَرَةِ بِأَدَاءِ الْحَجِّ. So whoever, these five conditions have been fulfilled in that person, then it is obligatory upon that person to hasten in the fulfillment of the obligation of pilgrimage. Here the Shaykh goes into detail in reference to the child. And then he gets back to the general topic of the conditions for making Hajj. But here he goes into the detail of the child, and he mentions five different matters. Okay, these details, we discussed some of it, but he goes into detail about the child performing Hajj. Okay, previously, and what we read previously, we did talk about the child, and we said concerning the child what? What did we say concerning the child? That it's under the conditions of making Hajj obligatory, there has to be bulugh, right? So the child didn't reach the age of responsibility. So what do we say about the child? If they did perform the Hajj, then there's a reward for it. And it's valid, but it doesn't count for the obligatory Hajj once of a lifetime. If they reach puberty, responsibility, and they're able, then they have to make Hajj again. That's what we said. So here the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, goes into a lot of detail. So he says, number one, he doesn't number them, but I'm numbering them just to separate the points so that we can retain them in our memories. يَصِحُّ فِعْلَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَ مِنَ الصَّبِي نَفْلًا. Okay, he said نَفْلًا. And we didn't see that word before in reference to the child. Mm-hmm. But it's understood. But the Shaykh is specifying clearly. يَصِحُّ فِعْلَ الْحَجِّ. So the performance of Hajj and Umrah by a child is sahih, it's valid. As a voluntary act, naflan, because it's not obligatory, because they didn't reach the age of responsibility. And this is based upon the hadith of Ibn Abbas, and the imra'a rafa'at ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sabiyan, a woman raised up a child to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then she said, alihada hajjun, qala na'am walaki ajrun. Does this child, is it permissible for the child to make Hajj? Is it valid for the child to make Hajj? Alihada hajjun? The Prophet said, na'am, yes. Yes, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, walaki ajrun. And you will also have a reward, for taking the child. Hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim. On the next page, 274, the Shaykh mentions what I am numbering as the second point, though he didn't number them. وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ Here he talks about ijma' on this affair. وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ عَلَى أَنَّ الصَّبِيِّ إِذَا حَجَّ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَبْلُغَ فَعَلَيْهِ الحج إذا بلغ واستطاع. That is ijma on this point. Shaykh is saying here. Nobody mentioned ijma before. We just mentioned it as a statement. But Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he's saying that there's ijma amongst the scholars concerning the child that if they make hajj before they reach the age of responsibility, فعليه الحج إذا بلغ, then he still has to perform hajj when he reaches the age of responsibility. If he reaches the age of responsibility and he's able. وَلَا يُجْزِعُهُ تِلْكَ الْحَجَّةُ عَنْ حَجَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَكَذَا عُمْرَتُهُ. And that particular hajj that he made as a child will not suffice. He will not be accredited. It will not suffice him for the the hajj of Islam. The hajj that's due upon every Muslim once in a lifetime. And same ruling concerning the umrah. If he made umrah before, will not suffice him for the umrah. That's obligatory once in a lifetime. That's assuming that we have the opinion that Umrah is obligatory. And we're going to talk about that in the end, right? Because there's a difference of opinion about it. And that's what the brother asked about, but he's not here with us, so I don't know if he was able to bring us something. Okay, next point. Point number three, not numbered. Point number three. وَإِنْ كَانَ الصَّبِي دُونَ التَّمْيِيزِ. Now here, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. Here the Shaykh, we're talking about a child, but here the Shaykh goes into detail that we didn't read before. About the difference between children, they're not all the same. Children are not all the same. So some of them may be, as he said here, وَإِنْ كَانَ الصَّبِي دُونَ التَّمْيِيزِ يعني below the age of discernment. The age of discernment where he can يُمَيِّز تَمْيِيز. He knows the difference between this and that, between right and wrong, of such and so and so. Okay? If the child is دُونَ التَّمْيِيز, عقد عنه الإحرام وليه. Then it is his guardian, his parent, or whoever is responsible for him, who makes the intention. عقد عنه الإحرام. يعني enters him into the state of Ihram with the intention of performing Hajj or Umrah. It's the wali that does it. Because why? He's doing a tamyiz. He doesn't know intention, right and wrong and good. And he doesn't know anything. He's just a baby. He's a tifl. So his wali has to make the intention for him. We didn't know this before. I don't know what we were thinking. Maybe the child is going to make intention for himself. Now we know that no, it's his, the person responsible for him, who enters him into the state of Ihram. بِأَنْ يَنْوِيهِ عَنْهُ. Specifically, the Shaykh says, عَقَدَ عَنْهُ الْإِحْرَامِ. How does he do that? يَنْوِيهِ عَنْهُ. He actually makes the intention on his behalf. وَيُجَنِّبُهُمْ وَيُجَنِّبُهُ الْمَحْذُورَاتِ. And he should make sure that he keeps him away from the things that are prohibited. Because why? He's doing a tamyiz. He doesn't know right from wrong. He doesn't know you can't do this and you can't do that. So he has to, his guardian has to make sure that he avoids, keeps him away from the mahdhurat, yani the things that are forbidden while you're in a state of ihram. وَيَطُوفُ وَيَسْعَى بِهِ مَحْمُولًا. And he should make tawaf and sa'i with him, carrying him. Carrying him. وَيَسْتَصْحِبُهُ يعني, but he takes him in the tawaf and sa'i. And even though he's a tifl, even though he might be a small child, he's doing a tamyiz, but he has to go on the tawaf and sa'i, even if you have to carry him. وَيَسْتَصْحِبُهُ فِي عَرَفَةً وَمُزْدَلِفَةً وَمِنَةً. And he must also bring him with him, accompany him, in Arafah and Muzdalifah and Mina. Otherwise, what's the sense of him going to Hajj if he ain't going to go to Arafah and Muzdalifah and Mina? He has to go, even if you have to carry him. وَيَرْمِ عَنْهُ الْجَمْرَاتِ. But he can throw the stones on his behalf. Because that might, a child may not be able to do that. You can carry a child into Tawaf and Sa'i into Arafah and Muzdalifah, but how does he throw the stones? If you've been to the Jamarat, you know that a little baby is not going to be able to throw stones. Even if he knows how to throw. But that is too dangerous. Right? So here the Shaykh said what? وَيَرْمِ عَنْهُ. And he will throw on his behalf to at the Jamarat. That's for what? The Sabi doing a Tamyiz. What about the Sabi that is of the age of Tamyiz? Now,
If you go to Mina, it's time to go to the Jamarat. Somebody is weak or sick, or someone else can throw the Jamarat for him because
they have him on. Yani, the only way that somebody can throw the stones for somebody is if they're unable to. They have to be unable to. Of course, if a person is sick and they're unable to walk or something, and they can't do it, then somebody can do it on their behalf. Now, but there are other options as well. But in any case, yes, if they're unable to, somebody can do it for them. But not if they just don't want to. Like a woman says to her husband, "Oh, Ahmed, you know, it looks crowded out there. I don't want to go out there. You do it for me." Not like that. Not like that. She just don't want to do it because it's crowded. Well, what did you come to Hajj for? Did you think it was going to be, a vacation in Disneyland? That's what I'm saying. There are other options that can be considered. The possibility of throwing the stones at night and so on. That's possible. Now, yeah.
I just want to briefly about it. Now, you said the kid that's,
yeah.
Now, he's wearing
the ihram too. Ihram, no. He's wearing ihram also. But it's his guardian that makes the intention for him.
Exactly.
That's why the Shaykh said what? عَقَدَ عَنْهُ الْإِحْرَامِ وَلِيُّهُ. His guardian enters into the state of ihram. But then he explains how? بِأَنْ يَنْوِي عَنْهُ. That he makes intention for him. But he puts him in ihram. Now, he's wearing ihram cloth. Now, okay, point number four. The Shaykh said, وَإِنْ كَانَ الصَّبِي مُمَيِّزًا. So here the Shaykh is saying, okay, so the children of two types. دُونَ Tamyiz and Mumayyiz, the one who is actually able to discern. He knows something, the difference between right and wrong. He's a child, but he knows right and wrong. He knows if you give him some instruction, he understands, and he's capable of doing some things himself. So the Shaykh said in this one, the Mumayyiz, نَوَى الْإِحْرَامِ بِنَفْسِهِ بِإِذْنِ وَلِيهِ. Listen to that. So he makes intention for Ihram for himself. But he said, بِإِذْنِ وَلِيهِ. But with the permission of his guardian. And he's a child, he has to take permission from his guardian. But he has to make intention for himself. وَيُؤَدِّي مَا قَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ مَنَاسِكَ الْحَجِ. And he must fulfill whatever he is able to of the manasik of Hajj. Yani that child who's mumayyiz, he has to do everything that he's able to, have to do it himself. مِنْ مَنَاسِكَ الْحَجِ. وَمَا عَجِزَ عَنْهُ يَفْعَلُهُ عَنْهُ وَلِيهُ. But whatever he's unable and capable of doing, then his guardian would do it on his behalf. So that might come to, for example, maybe throwing stones at Jamrah. It might be like, okay, he's mumayyiz, but he can't go in that crowd with that. That's going to be crazy in there. Sometimes adults can't do it. Sometimes the people have to, adults, even not sick people or weak people, they say, you know, I think I'm going to wait a little bit later. When it gets dark and it gets late, yani later in the night or something, it might calm down a little bit. So, okay, he could do that. But for a child, if the child is unable to do it, whatever he's unable to do, the guardian can do on his behalf. The Sheikh says, for example, karamli jamrat. He mentions specifically that as an example of what the child might not be able to do himself. In that case, his guardian can do it. يَفْعَالُهُ anhu walihu karamli karamyi al-jamrat. Like stoning at the pillars, the stone pillars. وَيَتُوفُ وَيَسْعَى بِهِ رَاكِبًا أَوْ مَحْمُولًا إِنْ عَجِزَ عَنْ الْمَشِّي. And he will take him to perform the tawaf and the sa'i. Tawaf around the Kaaba and the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. يَعْنِ يَتُوفُ وَيَسْعَى بِهِ. He has to go and do it. He has to go and do it. رَاكِبًا أَوْ مَحْمُولًا. Even if he's riding or being carried. إِنْ عَجِزَ عَنَ الْمَشِّي. If he's unable to walk, it's too dangerous, too difficult, then he still has to go. But he can be carried or he can ride in the yani riding, what do they call them? Yani wheelchairs and stuff like that. Okay? Yani whatever they have that people can ride in. Now, not the, what they call that, the floating thing? Hoover? Not that, no. Don't take that to Hajj. Raqiban aw mahmulan. In ajiza an al-mashi. Now, again, the Shaykh, he makes it so crystal clear, subhanAllah. That's if he's unable to walk. Point number five, this is the last point related to the child. And the Shaykh says, وَكُلُّ مَا أَمْكَنَ الصَّغِيرُ مُمَيِّزًا كَانَ أَوْ دُونَ دُونَ التَّمْيِيزِ. يعني كل ما أمكن الصغير فعله بنفسه كالوقوف والمبيت لزمه فعله. كل ما أمكن الصغير. Everything that the child is able to do, even if he's mumayyiz or دونه, دون التمييز. Even if he's mumayyiz, whatever he's able to do, بنفسه himself, like وقوف and مبيت, standing and spending the night. Standing meaning wukuf means Arafa, standing at Arafa. And mabit means spending the night. And Mina and Muzdalifa. Yani mabit and Mina and Muzdalifa, you have to spend the night there. Everything that he's able to do, no matter if he's mumayyiz or doon at-tamyiz, whatever he's able to do himself, he has to do it himself. He can go to Arafa. He can spend the night in Mina. Why can't he do that? Yeah, he can do that. So he has to do it himself. He said, لَزِمَهُ فَعْلُهُ. He must do it himself. بِمَانَ. And then the Shaykh, he wants to be clear. There is no doubt left. بِمَانَ meaning, أَنَّهُ لَا يَصِحُّ أَنْ يُفْعَلَ عَنْهُ. It's not valid that somebody does it for him. It's not valid. لِعَدْمْ حَاجَ لِذَلِكَ. Because there's no need for it. There's no need for somebody staying at Arafat for him, or staying at Muzdalifah for him, spending the night. وَيَجْتَنِبُ فِي حَجِّهِ مَا يَجْتَنِبُ الْكَبِيرُ مِنَ الْمَحْذُورَاتِ. And he should avoid in his Hajj everything that the older person, the adult, kabir, everything that the adult must avoid of the mahdurat, the prohibited things. That's the points that he made about the sabi. So a lot of details he gave here, and this is very important because a lot of times children are taken to Hajj. And they are not the same. There's mumayyiz and there's دون التمييز, the one who's not mumayyiz, غير mumayyiz. Okay, Sheikh goes back to now.
When he says that the child mumayyiz should get the permission from his guardian for the ihram, this one I don't understand because I was thinking that the child need like to take the permission. I was thinking about every act of worship, like praying or doing, does the child need the permission of his guardian to do it?
Yeah, because it's different. Praying and reading Quran and like that, he can do it because it doesn't affect his guardian. But going to Hajj, somebody's gonna have to spend on him, so he can't just say, "I'm going to Hajj at your expense, Dad. No. He has to have permission. If he says, I'm making salah at your expense, well, it doesn't cost his father anything for him to pray or read Quran or do acts of worship in general. Make dhikr or dua, doesn't cost his father anything. He doesn't say, oh dad, do you mind if I spend some of your money on making dua? But going to Hajj, he has to have permission. That's all the Shaykh is saying. That going to Hajj is something, it's not really the worship itself, but the going to Hajj, it requires some things, okay, that it's going to come from his guardian. So that's why of course, the guardian is the one who's going to enable him to do that. The guardian is the one who's going to take the expense, and the guardian is the one who's going to deal with whatever, and he has to be taken care of, any hardship, difficulty, whatever. It's going to be the guardian who has to do that. So he has to, the guardian has to be in agreement with that. Allahu A'lam, that's what it appears that it means now. Otherwise, what you said is exactly, perfectly, on point, that the child doesn't have to ask his parent, can I pray to Allah? Can I read Quran? Can I make dhikr or dua? No. He's worshipping Allah, he doesn't have to get permission for doing that. So that's really important. That's really important. You know? What about Ali ibn Abi Talib? Did he ask his parents permission to accept Islam? No. He didn't ask them, can I accept Islam? He just worshipped Allah when he knew that that's what he's supposed to do. Now, some things he may have to do for himself and the child, whatever the child is unable to do. Yeah, he will have to do it for himself and the child now. Tayyib. The Shaykh goes back to the conditions, and from amongst the conditions is an istitaa. But here he refers to it as al-qadir. Yani the person who al-mustatiya. Yani he refers to him as al-qadir. Now the Shaykh, he talks about al-qadir, the one who is able to perform Hajj. Because from the conditions of the obligation of Hajj is that a person has to be able, right? Yeah. So here's the person who's able. He used the language al-qadir, yani, and he said al-qadiru al-hajj. And by the way, he mentions he mentions four more points, but it's all in reference to being able. He said al-qadir al-hajj huwa alladhi yatamakkanu min ada'ihi jismiyan wa madiyan. Before we go to that, let me just remind us, al-istita'a, we said in the beginning, istita'a is composed of, number one, sihat al-badan, having good health, and number two, not necessarily in order, but in any case, amnu al-tariq, yani safe passage, milk, Azad wa rahila, yani having financial means to travel, and the means itself, the transportation, the mode of transportation, having a car, bus, a plane, or something. You have to have money, but even if you have money and there's no boat to take you across the river, guess what? You can't make it, right? So you have to have both. You have to have the money, and you have to have the means of transportation. You have to have good health, you have to have safe passage, and the woman also have to have a
mental health.
No, we said that that's not part of istifa. That's from the conditions, the original conditions of Hajj. You have to have al-aql. That's from the original conditions. But this is a condition separately, istifa. That's a separate condition. Okay? So now, he said, a reason why I wanted to review those points of istifa, because this is what the Shaykh is talking about, but he might not mention every one of these points in detail. So we want to look at what he's saying and try to distinguish. Al-Qadir al-Hajj. Huwa alladhi yatamakkan min ada'ihi. Jismiyan wa madiyan. Here the Shaykh said, istata'a, the one who is able to make Hajj, is the one who is able to fulfill it in two areas. Jismiyan wa madiyan. Jismiyan meaning? Huh? His body, physically able, and madiyan. Madda means material. Madiyan means he has the materials. Yani the money, the bus, the car, he has the madda, yani the materials that's necessary. So he used the word madiyan as opposed to maliyan, because madiyan is more comprehensive than maliyan, just means money. But madiyan means all the physical means that are necessary in order to perform the Hajj. So that includes the money and the rahila. So he included both of them, yani milk azad or milk rahila, he included them both in one thing, madiyan. Okay, so look, sometimes how the scholars express things different ways, and you have to, like, make sure you understand that he's saying not just money, but he's also saying madiyan, all physical means. بأن يمكنه الركوب ويتحمل السفر. يعني this is يعني being able to do so just mean وماديًا means that the person is able to ride. يعني يمكنه الركوب, he's able to ride on some kind of means of transportation. ويتحمل السفر, and he's also able to bear the travel. يعني meaning that a person might be able to get in the bus or the truck or the car, but maybe he can't bear the hardships of travel. Because really, you could be in a car riding on the road for 12 hours and you might not be able to bear it. Like me, I was in a car for a few hours and I was like, this is a bit much for me. I don't like this. That's why I don't like to travel. I can't bear the hardships of travel. You know, physically, it's difficult. So the Sheikh is saying here, not only can you get in the vehicle, but can you bear the hardship of travel? Some people get in an airplane, they can't take it. You know, especially if they have conditions, medical conditions, maybe a person has asthma or something like that, and being in the height could affect their yani, physical yani, health. So he said these two things. Then he said, وَيَجِدُ مِنَ الْمَالِ, I don't know, there's a word here that I think is just a printing mistake. وَيَجِدُ مِنَ الْمَالِ أَلَّتِي تَكْفِيهِ ذَهَابًا وَإِيَابًا. I don't know, it looks like بَلَغَتُهُ. Balagatu. I'm on page 274, halfway down the page. Halfway at the halfway mark, Walqadiru. That's the beginning of the sentence. Walqadiru. Yeah, it's next to the last paragraph. Walqadiru. So the Shaykh, he says here what? Then he has to also have available to him the money, the finance, which takfihi, which would be sufficient for him, dhahaban wa iyaban. Round trip, going and coming. And then he says, yani not only the ability to ride and to bear the journey, but he also have to have wealth that's sufficient for going and coming. And then he says, وَيَجِدُ أَيْضًا مَا يَكْفِي أَوْلَادُهُ وَمَنْ تَلْزَمُهُ نَفَقَتُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Huh? What is the meaning of this? وَيَجِدُ أَيْضًا مَا يَكْفِي أَوْلَادَهُ وَمَنْ تَلْزَمُهُ نَفَقَتُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَيْهِمْ. What is the meaning? What is sufficient for his children? And those who he's obligated to spend upon. Maybe there are other people that he's responsible for. Maybe some of his relatives or orphan or somebody else besides his children. Everybody who he's responsible for, there must be enough also for them, إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَيْهِمْ, until he comes back to them. So he has to make sure that if I'm going for 1 month, I have to take care of everything for that whole month. Rent, food, transportation, everything. And then the Shaykh says, وَلَا بُدَّ, and then this is the fourth point the Shaykh says under Al-Qadir Istita'a, وَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ بَعْدَ قَضَاءِ الدُّيُونَ وَالْحُقُوقَ الَّتِي عَلَيْهِ. وَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ بَعْدَ قَضَاءِ الدُّيُونَ وَالْحُقُوقَ الَّتِي عَلَيْهِ. What is the meaning? This spending on those who he's responsible for is after yani the money that he needs to travel and spending on those he's responsible for, all of that is after بعد قضاء الديون والحقوق التي عليه. After qada, fulfilling the duyun, yani the debts, and huquq alati alayhi, and other rights that people have over him. Here I want to make a note. The Shaykh, he didn't go into detail in this, but what I know, yani is correct, is that the meaning of what he's saying here is that if a person has debt or any other responsibility, rights that somebody have over him, whether it's debt or other than that, if it is due, it has to be taken care of. If it is due. Because if a person is in debt, they borrowed $10,000 and they say, I'm going to pay you $100 every month. So as long as he pays what's going to be due to him right now and what's due while he's away, there's no problem. He doesn't have to pay the whole $10,000. Rather, he has to pay what is upon him. what is currently upon him. If the whole thing is due upon him right now, he has to pay the whole thing. But if it's a time payment that the person who he's indebted to has agreed that you'll pay me in January and February and March, and now it's only October, no problem. He doesn't have to pay for January, February, March in October. He has to pay what's upon him. Okay, so this is an important point. This is a very important point. Because this always caused confusion for people. They said, I can't make Hajj because I'm in debt. No, you in debt, as long as you're making your payments, you're good. You're good. You may never get out of debt. Some people will be in debt until they die. Because they're always spending more than what they have. We should buy what we have the money to buy. Don't get yourself in debt. In debt is dangerous. Being in debt is dangerous. In any case, this is a point the Sheikh made. And what I want to emphasize here is that the Sheikh is saying, don't go to Hajj with money that you owe people and they are demanding it. It's due. And you just say, I'll pay them when I get back. No, you can't do that. You have money in your pocket. It belongs to somebody else. You have to pay them. Look, you have to pay them. You can't just say, I'll pay you when I get ready to. No, if you have it, you have to pay them. You don't have it, you can say, look, I know I owe you. And I know it's due. I don't have it. I just don't have it. Please excuse me. Give me extension. But if you say, I got it, but you know what? I'm getting ready to buy me a new car, man. I can't pay you till next year. No, brother, you can't do that. That's not your money. That's somebody else's money. You took it from them. Yani, lawfully in front of Allah, you have to return it. Okay, so if you are in a debt to somebody, and the money is due, and you have it, you have to pay it. You don't have it, that's different. Hopefully they'll give you yani, some consideration. So the Sheikh is saying, don't go to Hajj with somebody's money that's due, and you have it. But I'm not going to pay you now, I'm going to Hajj, man.
Okay.
No, you have to pay it. That's their right. That's their right. Okay? So that is really important. Here you are going to Hajj, and you have people's money that's due to them, and you have it, and you're just refusing to pay it. You're refusing to pay them. And you're on Hajj? No.
What about if Amit Sadhu asks for his permission?
Naam. It's due right now, and he said, you know what, I know you're trying to go to Hajj, you can pay me when you get back. No problem. No problem. No problem at all. There's no problem with that whatsoever. Because that's his right. If he wants to give you time on it, he can do that. He can tell you, you can pay me next year. When you come back from Hajj, I know you're going to be tight, so you don't have to pay me when you get back. I'll give you 6 extra months, no problem. Until you recuperate and you get yourself back in order, then you can start making the payments again. If he said that to you, it's fine. No problem whatsoever. At all. Don't worry about it. Don't make an excuse not to make Hajj that I have some debts. That the people who you owe it to is giving you relief. They're saying, don't worry, you can pay me next month. You can pay me next year. You can pay me in 6 months. No problem. Go ahead, go and make Hajj. If they gave it to you, they gave it to you. Khalas, that's their right. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Some people do that. Okay, the last point the Sheikh says here concerning, the last point under this category of istifa, he said, وَيَشْتَرِتْ أَنْ يَكُونُوا طَرِيقُهُ إِلَى الْحَجِ آمِنًا. Listen to what he said. عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ. We didn't talk about that in detail like that. We said they have to have safe passage. But we can understand what safe passage means. The Sheikh has given us detail. He said it is a condition that the road to Hajj has to be safe for him physically and safe for him financially. So maybe there's stick-up men on the road. Yani qutaa turuq. Yani highway robbers. So it's not obligatory. He doesn't have ability. If the highway robbers are waiting on the road, and he knows that they're going to stick him up, he's not obligated to make Hajj and go and people rob him. He has to have safe passage physically to him, physically and to his wealth also. Maybe the highway robbers, they don't kill people. In those days, they just take your money. Today, they kill you and take the money. Naam. I mean, sometimes even they don't find any money. They just kill you anyway. And don't get anything. Okay, then the Sheikh said, now we're going to a second point. This subdivision of the first point. He said the first point, you have to be يَتَمَكَّن مِنْ أَدَاءِ جِسْمِيًا وَمَادِيًا, physically and materially able. Here the Shaykh says, وَإِنْ قُدِرَ بِمَالِهِ دُونَ جِسْمِهِ. But if he's able, financially, but not physically. He's going, okay, now because he said two things, right? Yani, now he's saying, what if the person is able, جِسْمِيًا, but he's not, مَالِيًا, but not jismiyan. He has the money, but he's not physically able to travel. بِأَنْ كَانَ كَبِيرًا Yani, for example, he's aged, or haraman, senile, or maridan, mard, muzminan, yani, chronic, ongoing, chronic sickness. لَا يُرْجَعْ بُرْعُهُ He doesn't have hope or expectation of recovery. And a person has that kind of sickness that they don't expect to recover. Not a sickness that he's going to be in treatment for 6 months or 9 months or even 1 year. But he expects to recover. That no, not that person. No, the one who has a sickness that's chronic and he doesn't expect recovery from it. Because some people might be sick. Maybe they had a broken leg and it's going to take 6 months to recover. Oh, you can't. You're not excused from Hajj. You just make it next year. Okay? But if a person is unable, yani, they have the finance, but they're not physically able because of old age or senility or sickness that's chronic that they don't expect to recover from. لَزِمَهُ أَيُقِيمَ مَنْ يَحُجُّ أَنْهُ وَيَعْتَمَرْ يَعْنِ حِجَّةُ وَعُمْرَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ Then in that case, it's obligatory upon him to fix, to set up, yani to facilitate someone to perform Hajj and Umrah on his behalf. Yani the Hajj and Umrah of Islam, the once in a lifetime obligation. And again, yani we came back to the subject of what? Hajj and Umrah being obligatory once in a lifetime. Sheikh is saying the same thing here. Sheikh Uthaymeen said that last week. Sheikh Salih Fawzan is saying that this week. If he's unable to, he will not be able to, then he has to facilitate for somebody to make Hajj and Umrah on his behalf. Yani the once in a lifetime obligation of Hajj and Umrah. Min baladihi aw min al balad alladhi aysara fihi. Yani, either from his land or from a land that's easier. Meaning that maybe there are, for example, like right now today, there are students in Mecca and Medina who performed Hajj, and they said they want to make Hajj for somebody else. You have to pay them the amount that it will cost them to make Hajj. Without any extra. Yani, profit. But just the amount that it costs to make Hajj, whatever it's going to cost them from there, where it's easier. And less. And they can perform the Hajj for you, and they're students of knowledge, inshallah, upon the Sunnah. That's better than just sending your neighbor or your friend or somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. Okay? The Sheikh is saying that we're going to go into the details of it, but the point is, he's saying that you have to facilitate for somebody either from your land or from any place that's easier. Meaning he's telling us it doesn't have to be, if you're in New York, you have to send somebody from New York. Rather, you have to facilitate for somebody to do it on your behalf. Even if it's from some place that's easier for them to make Hajj from. It's okay to do that too. And that is a point because maybe if you send somebody to make Hajj on your behalf from New York, it costs $10,000. If you send a student from Medina to make Hajj on your behalf, it might cost $1,000. Yeah. But the Hajj is performed. And that Hajj may be better than the one from the person here, unless the person from here is also a talibul ilm, a person who's upon the Sunnah. Because sometimes you might send somebody, and you don't know, I mean, what is their condition in reality. In any case, this is another point that the Sheikh brought out that we didn't maybe even think about before. Okay? So that's why it's important when you study any subject, you have to read from more than one source. I don't care what scholar you're reading from, some other scholars are going to mention something else that scholar didn't mention. Because the scholars are human beings. They didn't have everything. Even they might even know it, but they don't think of everything every moment, every time they talk about a topic. So when you read two or three different scholars, you're going to get more benefits from each one of them than you didn't get from the other one. Even though most of what they're saying is going to be the same. Or they might express it differently, that you might understand better here than you didn't understand there. And this point that the Shaykh made here is based upon the hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, and the imra'a min qata'am, yani qalat, ya Rasulullah, inna abi adrakathu faridatullahi fil hajji, shaykhan kabiran, la yastatiyu, أن يثبت على الراحلة أفأحج عنه قال حجي عنه متفق عليه يعني the lady who said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم indeed the obligation that Allah has placed upon his servants to perform the pilgrimage has reached my father while he is a sheikh kabir an old man he is not able to remain upon the riding animal shall I perform hajj on his behalf and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said do it he commanded her حجي Anhu, commander, Hujji Anhu. Yani perform Hajj on his behalf, reported by Al Bukhari and Muslim. Now we go to a new point, yani another secondary, subsidiary point related to this topic. Now, Sheikh makes one or two more points. Now,
okay, when you say lady here, that she can get the Emuara. She can do the
okay, we said last week that we said that there's difference of opinion. Sheikh Al-Faymin's opinion is that the lady having a mahram is a primary condition that makes Hajj obligatory. If she doesn't have one, it's not obligatory upon her. Other scholars said no, it's a condition just for actually doing the Hajj. So that means that if she has everything else, it's obligatory upon her to make Hajj. And when it came time for her to go, if she has no mahram, she has to send somebody. That's the other opinion. But Sheikh Uthaymeen said that the correct opinion, in his view, is that it's from the primary, fundamental, yani shurut, that make Hajj obligatory. So if a woman doesn't have a mahram, there's no Hajj. Yani Hajj is not obligatory. It's not obligatory for her. She doesn't have to send somebody. She does not have to send somebody.
Allahu
A'lam. I don't know who's the other opinion, but yani, that's he's just saying that there is a difference of opinion about it. So he's clarifying that, you know, there's some room here for some difference of opinion. Okay, the next subject that he deals with related to this topic, he says, yani, it's related to the previous topic, but subsidiary point in reference to the person who has the financial means, but they don't have the physical ability, and they will not have the physical ability. They don't expect to recover from whatever their condition is. They have to send somebody to make Hajj on their behalf. The Shaykh now explains in detail concerning this. وَيَشْتَرِتْ فِي النَّائِبِ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ فِي الْحَجِّ أَنْ يَكُونُ قَدْ حَجَّ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ حَجَّةَ الْإِسْلَامِ يعني that it is a condition for the naib, the substitute, who's performing Hajj on behalf of someone else, that that person must have had perform the pilgrimage on their own behalf. Yani, the obligatory pilgrimage of once in a lifetime. They have to have already performed it. Okay? The hadith Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, أنه سمع رجلا يقول لبيك عن شبرمة قال حججت عن نفسك قال لا قال حج عن نفسك ثم حج عن شبرمة. Yani, the hadith Ibn Abbas in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a man saying لبيك عن شبرمة. Meaning, yani here I am, O Allah, performing Hajj on behalf of somebody named Shubruma. In the actual narration of the hadith, the full wording of the hadith, there's some more words in there, but in any case, this is how the Shaykh narrated here. In the original narration of the hadith, the Prophet said, Men Shubruma. He said, Akhun li, aw qareebun li. Yani, a brother of mine or a relative of mine. What's important is what he mentioned here. That is that the Prophet heard a man saying this, that he's performing Hajj on somebody's behalf, and the shahid of this hadith is, the Prophet asked him, Hajjajta an nafsika. Have you performed Hajj on behalf of yourself? And the man said, no. And the Prophet said, then you must perform Hajj on behalf of yourself. And then you can perform Hajj, yani, in another year, on another journey, on behalf of Shubruma. Because you can only make one Hajj and one journey. Naam.
Is it that the person that made a house for himself, with his money for himself.
No.
Otherwise, he didn't get money from another guy, or other person.
No.
But he's on himself. But now, can he make a house for himself with his money, and with the niyyah also making it for somebody?
No.
No.
No, that's what I'm saying here. That after he makes Hajj for himself, then he has to make another Hajj in another year, in another journey, on behalf of somebody else. Not on the same journey. No, he has to make only one Hajj on that journey, then he has to disperse, where go wherever he's going, and next year, or following year, he has to make another journey for Hajj, and perform Hajj separately for somebody else. Not in the same journey. You can't make yani Hajj for yourself, and at the same time, let me make Hajj for my mother, and my father, and my cousin, and my brother too, yani while I'm at it, right? A lot of Hajjis at one time. Yeah. Two for the price. Listen, the time is racing against us. Good. Yeah. We assume that. In any case, this hadith clarifies the yani ruling concerning that, right? So every other hadith has to be subject to yani this, that a person has to make Hajj on their own behalf. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, and the Shaykh says, Isnaduhu Jayyid wa Sahahahu al-Bayhaqi. Rahimahum Allah. Last point that the Sheikh makes, and this is not our last point, but this is the last point of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, and these are not numbered, but this is the fourth yani, area of discussion under this topic. He says, وَيُعْطَى النَّائِبُ مِنَ الْمَالِ مَا يَكْفِيهِ تَكَالِيفْ السَّفَرْ ذَهَابًا وَإِيَابًا. Okay, here the Sheikh also gives detail, it's very important. The naib, substitute for somebody, will be given the wealth that is sufficient, ma yakfihi, takalif as-safar, dhahaban wa yaban. That it was sufficient to take care of whatever it cost for the journey, going and coming. وَلَا تَجُوزُ الْإِجَارَةُ عَلَى الْحَجِ. And it is not permissible to hire, to rent somebody out, yani to pay them to perform Hajj. To pay them for performing the Hajj. It's not permissible. لَا تَجُوزُ إِجَارَةُ عَلَى الْحَجِ. Yani you can't pay somebody to perform Hajj for you. Meaning, it's like you're renting them out. You're renting, I'm renting you to go make Hajj for me. No, you give them the meat. مِنَ الْمَالِ مَا يَكْفِيهِ تَكَالِفَ السَّفَرُ. Yani you give him the amount of money that's sufficient to take care of the yani whatever it costs to go and come. Yani whatever expenses he has. Takalif means the expenses. Okay, the expenses. This is how much the ticket costs. When you get there you have to pay for a sacrifice. You have to eat some food. Yani that's part of the traveling, right? You have to catch a bus. Yani from here to there. Once you arrive there, you have to, whatever the expenses are, the person who the Hajj is for has to pay for all of that. The Sheikh says, but it's not permissible to rent somebody out for Hajj.
Yeah,
meaning that to give them extra money beyond what it costs to make the Hajj, but here's an extra $1,000, that's for you for the hardship that you went through and going making the Hajj. You can't do that, okay? He gives further detail. Let me, maybe it'll answer the question. Unless, go ahead.
No, but you can give him, just in case, if it's not. The money he gave you,
maybe, no problem. But when he came back, everything that's left, he has to return it. Wala, he said, it's not permissible, ijara, on Hajj. Wala an yattakhidha dhariyatan likasb al-mal. The Hajj cannot be taken as an opening, a doorway to earn wealth. Yani every year I'm going to Hajj. I'm making a lot of money. It costs $1,000 to do it. I'm charging $5,000. It's not permissible. And yattakhidha, yani hajj, dhariyatan, as a doorway, likasb al-mal, to earn money. And this is something that we have to think about. Because people, used to happen, it's happening right now. It's happening right now. It became a business. It became a business. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونُ مَقْصُودُ النَّائِبُ نَفَعُ أَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمُ. But it is incumbent that the intent, the maqsood, the niyyah of the naib is only to benefit his Muslim brother. He's only doing it to help another Muslim who's not able to go. He's not doing it to, this is a business, I'm trying to make money. And also, his maqsood, his intent may be, أن يحج بيت الله الحرام ويزور تلك المشاعر العظام فيكون حجه لله لا لأجل الدنيا لأجلي يعني من أجلي for the purpose of لأجلي الدنيا Okay, let me read again. يَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُونَ مَقْصُودَ النَّائِبِ نَفَعَ أَخِيَ الْمُسْلِمِ وَأَن يَحُجُّ بَيْتَ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ. Good? Yani that also his intent, his purpose, his objective may be that he actually goes to the house of Allah, the sacred house of Allah. Go in there, be in there. I would love to be at Mecca. I've been there before, I can't go again. I'll do it for you, just pay for the expenses. And I'll be happy just that I got to go to the Bayt Allah al-Haram. وَيَزُورُ تِلْكَ الْمَشَاعِرَ الْعِظَامِ. And that I'll have a chance to visit those great and magnificent places, yani landmarks in Islam, Muzdalifah, Mina, Mecca, and all of these places, Kaaba. I'll be able to see these things and be there. وَيَكُونُ حَجُّهُ لِلَّهِ. وَيَكُونُ حَجُّهُ لِلَّهِ. And that his Hajj should only be for the sake of Allah. لَا لِأَجْلِ الدُّنْيَا. Not for the benefit, worldly benefit. فَإِنْ حَجَّ لِقَصْدْ الْمَالِ. So if he made Hajj with the intention of making some money, فَحَجَّهُ غَيْرُ الصَّحِيِّ. His Hajj is not valid. Okay, the thing is, right, if the people who have the agencies are not making it as a profit-making business, which is what is happening today, that's why Hajj is so expensive. It doesn't cost that much. It doesn't cost nearly that much, probably not even half that amount, but it just became business. They're not doing it for the sake of Allah. They're going, the Hajj agent is going every year, taking a group of people to Hajj. He's only doing it to make money, purely. Forget about it, that's it. He's not going because he wants to see the Kaaba. He's going because he's making a lot of money. Wallahu alam. Yani, if a person is doing it just for the sake of helping his brother, and just for the sake of being able to be there in Hajj, I have a friend, mashallah, he used to take people to Hajj every year. Even sometimes, he told the people, look, just get the ticket, the other expenses I'll take care of for you. If you don't have all the money, just get your ticket and come with me. Whatever else is on me, the hotels, all that, you'll be with me. I know that for a fact. Many times, when I was living overseas, he used to come every year. When I was in Medina, every year he made Hajj. Sometimes, Umrah, 2 and 3 times a year. And he always used to bring people, and sometimes they didn't have enough money. He just said, just get the ticket and you'll be with us. Don't worry about it. Food, housing, everything, we got it. Buses, all the extra expenses, we got it. That is a person who's what? Just doing it for his Muslim brother. He's just doing it because I want to be on Hajj every year. I want to see the Kaaba every time. I want to be there. I want to be participating. I'm not trying to make no money, not one dime. Rather, they're losing money. They're losing money. I know that for a fact because I was there and I saw the people coming and some of those people didn't have no money. But now, today, it became the opposite. Exactly. If you don't got the money, you can go back home. You're not with us. If you don't have anything, you're on your own. It's your problem. Okay, we're not finished yet because Ibrahim is here. We only have a few minutes left, so please, let's try to benefit from the time. Please, let's try to take advantage of the time that we have remaining. What time is the class over? 5:45. Okay, we have maybe enough time. Let's quickly try to go through this without a lot of sidebar discussions. Okay, Ibrahim asked last week about what's the proof that Hajj, that Umrah is obligatory. Okay, Fiqh al-Ibadat, al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Fatawa al-Hajj, under the title, page 305, Hukmu al-Umrah. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, yani the question to him was, question number 208, Fadilat al-Shaykh, Ma Hukmu al-Umrah? What is the ruling concerning Umrah? Al-Jawab, Amma al-Umratu, Faqad ikhtalafu al-Ulama fi wujubiha. The scholars differ about it. That's the question that came last week. How is this Hajj, yani Umrah, obligatory? Amma al-Umrah, yani as far as Hajj, there's no difference of opinion. But as far as Umrah, اختلف العلماء في وجوبها. Scholars differ concerning its obligation. Number one, first opinion. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَالَ إِنَّهَا وَاجِبَةٌ. Some of the scholars said it's obligatory. Second opinion. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَالَ إِنَّهَا سُنَّةٌ. Some of the scholars said, no, it's not obligatory, it's sunnah. Is there a third opinion? What else could it be? What could be the third opinion? No, not reading. What's the third opinion from your minds? What's the third opinion? Sheikh said, and the third opinion, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ الْمَكِّ وَغَيْرِهِ. And some of the scholars, some said it's obligatory, some said it's sunnah, some said it depends. Or you from the people of Mecca or other than Mecca. Yeah, in other words, the people of Mecca have one ruling for Umrah, the people other than the people of Mecca have a different ruling for Mecca. This third opinion. They said, wajibatun ala ghayru Makki. People who don't live in Mecca, it's obligatory. That's the third opinion. They distinguish between the people of Mecca and the people not in Mecca. Second opinion, what? First opinion, it's obligatory on everybody. The third opinion, it's obligatory on other than the people who live in Mecca. That's a different opinion. The people of Mecca, it's not obligatory upon them. That's the third opinion. يعني واجبتون على غير على غير المكي. غير واجبة على المكي. But it's not obligatory upon the مكي. These are three opinions. The Sheikh says, والراجح عندي. And what is the strongest opinion with me, annaha, listen to how he answered this question. Annaha, what do you think is his answer without looking at the book?
Wajibun
li kullin. He doesn't agree that it's sunnah, and he doesn't agree that there's a distinction. Rather, the Shaykh said, وَالرَّاجِ عِنْدِي أَنَّهَا وَاجِبَةٌ عَلَى مَكِّ وَغَيْرِهِ عَلَى مَكِّ وَغَيْرِهِ. So he doesn't agree with the second opinion, and he doesn't agree with the third opinion. But rather, he says that it is wajibatun, and there's no distinction between Makki and غير Makki. It's wajib on everybody. Lakin, you know, the Shaykh, he never answers the question except he keeps going, right? Lakin, wujubuha adna min wujub al-hajj. Walakin, wujubuha adna, yani, aqallu min wujub al-hajj. It's less than the obligation of hajj. It's obligatory, but its degree of obligation is less than hajj. Why?
Because hajj was
لأن وجوب الحج فرض مؤكد. Because the obligation of Hajj نعم is an obligation that is مؤكد, affirmed, confirmed. لأن الحج أحد أركان الإسلام بخلاف العمرة. Because Hajj is what? One of the pillars of Islam, as opposed to Umrah is not one of the pillars of Islam. It's obligatory, but it's not equal to the obligation of Hajj because it's not one of the pillars of Islam. That's what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, and I think that was a tremendous benefit.
Did that find any obligation for Umrah or Sunnah? I'm not sure about the
Inshallah.
I don't think so.
Okay, so as far as, is there any proof that Umrah is, yani whoever said that Umrah is obligatory, did they find any proof in the Sunnah? Naam. I'm going to read some proof from the Sunnah. Yani, concerning the Umrah being obligatory or Sunnah, there's difference of opinion. The scholars, we already agreed that, they all agree that it's legislated to do it, but they differ whether or not it is obligatory. They all agree that it's virtuous to do it, but they differ whether or not it's obligatory or Sunnah. So, the first opinion concerning this is that which is the opinion of the two Imams, Abu Hanifa and Malik, rahimahumullah. Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik. Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik. And this is also the chosen opinion of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. First opinion is the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and Imam Malik. First two Imams, in order, like that. And it's the chosen opinion of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, who is upon which madhab? Hanbali. إلى أنها سنة مستحبة وليست واجبة. Whose opinion is that? Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, before him, Abu Hanifa, and after him Imam Malik, in that order. And they use as a proof that which narrated by At-Tirmidhi from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, su'ila an al-umrah, awajibatun hiya. He was asked, is umrah wajiba? He said, la. Wa anta atamiru huwa afdal. But if you do it, it's better. Except that this hadith is da'if. ضعفه الشافعي. الإمام الشافعي said it's ضعيف. وابن عبد البر from the Maliki madhab. This is Imam Malik's opinion, right? But Ibn عبد البر from the Maliki madhab said the hadith is ضعيف. وابن حجر الأسقلاني وإمام النووي والشيخ الألباني, he also declared it to be ضعيف in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. And other than them, who said that it's ضعيف? يعني Ibn عبد البر Shaykh al-Albani, al-Imam al-Shafi, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Imam Nawawi, they said the hadith is da'if. Al-Imam Nawawi specifically said, هُوَ دَعِيفٌ لَتَقُومُ بِمِثْلِهِ الْحُجَّةِ. Yani, the like of this hadith is weak to the extent it could not be used as a proof. وَلَيْسَ فِي الْعُمْرَةِ شَيْءٌ ثَابِتٌ بِأَنَّهَا تَطَوُّعٌ. And there's nothing that's confirmed that proves that Umrah is only تَطَوُّع, voluntary. There's nothing, Imam Shafi said, that proves that it's voluntary. وَقَالَ إِبْنَ عَبْدُ الْبَرِّ رُوِيَ ذَلِكَ بِأَسَانِيدِ لَا تَصَحُّ. That narration of Jabir has been narrated with isnads that are not authentic. وَلَا تَقُومُ بِمِثْلِهَا الْحُجَّةِ. And Ibn Abdul Barr said the same thing. The like of that hadith cannot be used as a proof. وَقَالَ Imam Nawwi in Al-Majmu'a. He said, اتَّفَقَ الْحُفَّاذِ عَلَى أَنَّهُ ضَعِيفٌ. The Huffaz of Hadith they are all in agreement that that hadith is daif. وَمِمَّا يَدُلُّ عَلَى ضَعْفِهِ أَنَّ جَابِرًا رضي الله عنه ثبت عنه القول بوجوب العمرة كما سيأتي. And one of the things that indicate the hadith is daif is that the person who is narrated from is confirmed that his view is that yani umrah is obligatory. So how could he have narrated a hadith on the Prophet saying it's not and then take the position that it is? That's not possible that a companion of the Prophet could narrate a hadith saying umrah is not obligatory and then he comes behind that and says no, it's obligatory. That's not possible. Second opinion, because time is upon us, right? So try to quickly. وَذَهَبَ الْإِمَامَانِ الشَّافِي وَأَحْمَدِ. That's the third and fourth imam of the four imams, Imam Shafi and Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, they hold the opinion of it being wujub, of wajib. وَاخْتَرْ هَذَا الْقَوْلِ. And this is the chosen opinion of who? Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. This is the chosen opinion of Imam Bukhari, along with who? Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmed, and Imam Al Bukhari, rahimahumullah.
Sheikh, I'm a little bit confused. Because I understood that you said that for Imam Malik
and Abu Hanifa,
is wajib.
They said that is sunnah.
Okay.
They said that is sunnah.
That's the opinion of Sheikh
Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah.
I thought you said it's wajib.
No. Sunnah. We said the first opinion of the two Imams, Abu Hanifa and Malik, and the chosen opinion of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah is that it's sunnah mustahabba wa laysat wajiba. I read that line in Arabic. Wa laysat wajiba.
The book that we read,
Fiqh al-Ibadat, is Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. This is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Okay, second opinion. The two Imams, Shafi and Ahmed, and also along with them, the chosen opinion of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. وَاسْتَدِلُّ الْقَائِلُونَ بِالْوُجُوبِ بِإِدَّةِ الْأَدِلَّةِ. What are the evidences? You said, do you have any evidence that is obligatory from the Sunnah, right? What is the evidence? Especially Imam Bukhari, because Imam Bukhari is a scholar of hadith, right? So Imam Bukhari is going to bring some narrations. Naam. وَاسْتَدِلُّ الْقَائِلُونَ بِالْوُجُوبِ. What did they use as proof? A number of evidences. Number one, that which is reported by Ibn Majah from Aisha radiallahu anha, qalat, kuntu ya Rasulullah, ala nisa'i jihadun, is there any jihad on the women? Qala, na'am, alayhinna. Na'am, alayhinna. Yes, it is obligatory upon them, jihadun, la qital fihi al-hajju wal-umratu. Yes, there is something obligatory upon them of jihad. It is a jihad in which there is no fighting. That is the Hajj and the Umrah. Qala al-Imam al-Nawwi majmu'a. He said, Isnaduhu sahihun ala shart al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Wa sahahahu al-Albani fi sahih ibn Majah. Narration of Aisha. That's the first one. Is there any yani jihad on the women? Prophet said, yes. It is Hajj and Umrah. Is obligatory upon the women. Only upon the women? Yani he's just saying here that that's the jihad that's obligatory upon the women. This hadith, yani is, yani al-Imam al-Nawwi said that it's sahih, Shaykh al-Bani in this time said it's sahih. Wajj is istidlal min al-hadith. The manner in which this hadith is used as a proof is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhinna. Yani it's obligatory upon them. And this kalima, ala, tufidu al-wujub. It indicates that it's obligatory. That's the first evidence. The hadith of Aisha reported by Ibn Majah. Second evidence, Hadith Jibreel al-Mashhur. The Hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam that's famous, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about Islam and Iman and Ihsan and the hour and the signs of the hour, فَقَدْ رَوَى. This Hadith has been narrated by Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Imam al-Darqutni from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and in it is Ziyadah, ذِكْرُ الْعُمْرَ مَعَ الْحَجِ. In it is the Ziyadah of the mention of Umrah along with Hajj. وَلَفْظُهُ, when its expression came, الْإِسْلَامُ أَنْ تَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَتُؤْتِي الزَّكَاةِ وَتَحُجُّ الْبَيْتِ وَتَعْتَمِرُ. That's how it came in the narration of يعني الإمام ابن خزيمة in his Sahih and الدارقطني. وَتَحُجُّ الْبَيْتِ وَتَعْتَمِرُ وَتَغْتَسِلُ مِنَ الْجَنَابَةِ وَتَتِمُّ الْوُضُوءَ وَتَصُومُ رَمَضَانَ. قَالَ الدَّارْقُطْنِي, الإمام الدَّارْقُطْنِي, who is one of the foremost scholars in the history of Islam in the yani science of ilal, defects in hadith, specialists in this area. He said, "Hada isnadun thabitun sahihun." That Islam is to bear witness that none deserves to worship except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and to establish the prayer and give the zakat, and to perform hajj and umrah to the house, and to take a ghusl from janabah, and to complete the ablution, and to fast in Ramadan. That's how the narration came in the Sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah and the Sunan of Ad-Darqutni, and Darqutni said, "Hadha isnadun thabitun sahih." Second evidence. Third evidence, ma rawahu Abu Dawood wa Nasa'i an As-Subi ibn Ma'abad qala kuntu a'rabiyyan nasraniyyan. Yani this man, he said, what? I was a Bedouin and a Christian. Fa'ataytu Umar. Actually, it's a long narration. They just summarized it here. But he said, yani he accepted Islam and he wanted to make Hajj, and he asked someone, yani that I like to go to jihad, but I realize that I have to make Hajj and Umrah. So can I just make ihram, yani intention for both of them at the same time? He said yes, but you just have to make a sacrifice. And then some people made mockery of him when they heard him reciting the Talbiyah for Hajj and Umrah at the same time. They said, this one, he doesn't have the understanding more than his donkey. Yani he doesn't know what he's doing, making Hajj and Umrah together. So that man, he felt like, wow, yani I don't know what I'm doing. I asked somebody who knows, and he told me it's like, okay. And then he was like that. So then this is the narration came back here. They didn't narrate the whole hadith, but فَأَتَيْتُ عُمَرٍ. This is the shahid anyway. They give the shahid. فَأَتَيْتُ عُمَرٍ. So I came to Umar bin Khattab. فَقُلْتُ يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, إِنِّي أَسْلَمْتُ وَإِنِّي وَجَدْتُ الْحَجُ وَالْعُمْرَ مَكْتُوبَيْنِ عَلَيَّ فَأَحْلَلْتُ بِهِمَا. Yani he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I entered Islam and I came to know the Hajj and Umrah were obligatory upon me. So I made ihram, yani intention, for both of them together. But in the original narration, he told him what the people that I asked and I was told, and then people heard me saying this and they started making mockery of me. So he came to Umar and asked him, what about this? And Umar said, فَقَالَ عُمَرْ هُدِيتَ لِسُنَّةِ نَبِيِّكَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. You have been guided to the sunnah of your Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Yani Hajj and Umrah. The last evidence that they brought for this opinion is the qawl Jama'at ibn al-Sahaba. Yani a group of companions who hold the opinion that Umrah is obligatory. From amongst them is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, wa Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, wa Jabir ibn Abdullah, who the first weak narration narrated from, that is not obligatory. Jabir holds the opinion that it's obligatory radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Qala Jabir, yani this is the statement of Jabir, laysa muslim illa alayhi Umrah. There is no Muslim except it is incumbent upon him to perform Umrah. Qala al-Hafiz, yani Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rawahu ibn Jahm al-Maliki bi isnadin hasan. Yani al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said, the isnad of this statement from Jabir is hasan. Wa qala al-Bukhari. Bukhari is from those who said it's obligatory. This is the proof that Bukhari brought. Qala al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, bab wujub al-Umrah wa fadliha. Sahih al-Bukhari, he entitled Imam Bukhari himself, this his chapter heading. Imam Bukhari said, Bab wujub al-Umrah wa fadliha, the obligation of Umrah and its excellence, its virtue. What proof do we have? Qala ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, laysa ahadun illa wa alayhi hajjatun wa umratun. Yani, Abdul Umar said, there's nobody except Hajj and Umrah is obligatory upon them. Imam Bukhari is narrating this from who? From Abdullah ibn Umar. Then Imam Bukhari narrates from Qala Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, innaha laqarinatuha fi kitabillah. Yani innaha al-umrah laqarinatuha fi kitabillah. That umrah is the companion of Hajj in the Book of Allah. It came with the book in the Book of Allah, where Allah said, this is the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he is what? Turjuman al-Quran. Look how Ibn Abbas understood what Allah said in the Quran. He said first that Umrah is the companion of Hajj in the Book of Allah, where Allah said, "Wa atimmu, atimmu wa fil amr." Where Allah said, "Wa atimmu al-Hajj wal-Umrah lillah." Allah commanded to complete the Hajj and Umrah for Allah. Huh? Fil Amr. From Abdul ibn Abbas, how he understood the Book of Allah. This is what Imam Bukhari narrates to support his view that Hajj, that Umrah is obligatory. وَقَوْلُهُ لَقَرِينَتُهَا أَيْ قَرِينَةُ فَرِيدَةُ الْحَجِّ. يعني it is the companion of the obligatory Hajj. It came with it in the statement of Allah, I order you to complete the Hajj and Umrah for the sake of Allah. وَقَالَ الشَّيْخِ إِبْنِ بَازِ رَحِمُهَ اللَّهِ الْإِمَامِ إِبْنِ بَازِ السَّوَابِ أَنَّ الْعُمْرَةِ وَاجِبَةٌ مَرَّةً فِي الْعُمْرَةِ كَالْحَجِّ. Yani, what is correct from the difference of opinion of the scholars is that Umrah is obligatory at least once in a lifetime, just like Hajj. This is the Majmu' Fatawa of Sheikh Ibn Baz, volume 16, page 355. وقال الشيخ الوثيمين, we already read what he said someplace else. And شارع الممتية, he said, اختلف العلماء في العمرة, هل هي واجبة أو سنة? The scholars differed concerning Umrah, is it obligatory or sunnah? والذي يظهر أنها واجبة. And what appears to me is that it is wajib. وَجَاءَ فِي فَتَاوَى اللَّجْنَةَ دَائِمَةَ, the Standing Committee of the Scholars of Saudi Arabia, volume 11, 317, they said, الصَّحِيِّ مِنْ قَوْلَي الْعُلَمَاءِ أَنَّ الْعُمْرَةَ وَاجِبَةٌ. That which is correct from the two opinions of the scholars, what is correct is that Umrah is wajiba. Why? لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Because Allah said, you must complete the Hajj and the Umrah for the sake of Allah. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 166 ayat. Wala ahadith waradat fi dhalika. And also, wa li al-hadith waradat li dhalika. And also the hadith that is narrated, yani concerning this, yani including the hadith in Abu Dawud and the hadith in Ibn Majah. Yani wallahu ta'ala a'alam. Wallahu ta'ala a'alam. Okay, this is yani what we wanted to present for today. And Allah knows best. Yani there is difference of opinion. Naam, ya Ibrahim. Naam. If a person performs tamattu, then he will have performed the umrah and he will have performed hajj, and that's sufficient for the umrah. And this is yani what the Prophet ﷺ left the people upon in his farewell pilgrimage. He told all the people who didn't bring an animal to break their intention that they made originally and make tamattu. To break their intention, get out of ihram and then yani get back in ihram for hajj. Meaning make your umrah, finish from it, and now make your hajj. Your obligatory umrah, your obligatory hajj. This is what the scholars of the sunnah today say is the way to perform hajj, it is tamattu. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, if I had known what I know now, then I wouldn't have brought my animal with me. Meaning I would have done what I'm ordering all of you to do. I'm ordering you to break your ihram and to complete your umrah and then make hajj. But I can't do it because the person who brought his animal with him, he can't get out of ihram until he sacrifices it. He can't get out of Ihram until he sacrifices it. But he said, I'm ordering you all to do it. Whoever didn't bring his animal, you're going to make tamattu. And I would have done the same if not for the fact that I have this animal with me. Or not this animal, but he had several animals, right? How many animals did he have? 100. 100 that he himself slaughtered by his own hand. How many? 67. 63? 63. And then Ali slaughtered the remaining ones. 100 animals. Huh? Yeah, but it's the person's intention. It depends. If they didn't make intention for tamattu, then they don't. Just because they got there early, don't mean they have to get out of it. That's up to them. They can, but and they should, but they don't have to. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك